Welcome to the Entrepreneurs in Bali podcast, your digital escape into the lives of the entrepreneurs living in Bali. I am Daniel Heisoman, and each week we dive into the art of living freely, working remotely, and discovering what it takes to get there. Join us as we explore the secrets to financial freedom, share tips on navigating the digital nomad lifestyle, and hear from nomads who've made Bali their temporary or permanent home. From what they do, how they do it, and how they got into it, we're covering it all. Whether you're here for the strategies, the secrets, or listening for the enjoyment of each entrepreneur story, Entrepreneurs in Bali is your guide to thriving in this island paradise. So hit the follow button, download, and get yourself a coconut so that we can kick off this next entrepreneur's journey together. Welcome all the guests, everyone watching and listening, whether it's on YouTube or any kind of podcast platform. Welcome. Today we have another special guest. I actually met him just a few days ago at a birthday party, and I found his occupation quite interesting, and I wanted to share that with you guys, so I invited him. And Oscar, you can go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us what you do, how you got into it, and what made you decide to come to Bali from there on.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for the invite. Appreciate that. I'm a videographer here in Bali. I've been here now almost 3 years, living the typical digital nomad life, right? Loving it. I mean, you mentioned it also in your podcast. It's just a great place to be.
Yeah.
It's very inspiring. You meet so many people who are really choose their own business, or they have their own little setup, and yeah, the island is beautiful. It's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I love surfing.
Nice.
So that's also one of the reasons I'm here. And my mother is Indonesian, so it's a little bit back to the roots, right?
Yeah.
The food I recognize, and yeah, it's just a really nice place to be, and yeah, that's why I chose it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What you do professionally?
I'm a videographer at the moment, filmmaker. I studied, maybe I can share a little bit how I got here.
Yeah, of course.
I was kind of a bit of a trip. I studied art school, videography. After that, I had my own business in corporate videos mainly. Eventually, I went into a master's degree into Australia. I worked there afterwards, and yeah, really nice. Eventually, I got back to Netherlands, worked for a big multinational, did a lot of video editing, very nice. But after a few years, and it's kind of similar to your story, eventually you get a little bit sick of it, right? And you wanna, see the world. You don't wanna stuck in a cubicle.
Yeah.
And but this is. How many years? It's just like 12, 13 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So there was not the whole digital nomad life. It was not so normal as it is now.
There was no podcast on it.
There was no podcast on it, right? And it was really hard to find stuff. And I was really thinking, what can I do to live and work abroad, right?
Yeah.
And I just Googled and researched. And either you need to have a lot of money to set something up, which I didn't. Or you're gonna end up at that time working in hostels or in a fruit plant, or you're gonna maybe work as a translator or a thing, but there were not so many jobs around, right? So yeah, did a lot of research. There was this website Workaway, do you know it? Workaway.org.
Yes.
I thought that was really genius, where you have all these businesses all around the world, and they're inviting people to work for them.
Yeah.
And in exchange, they give you accommodation and food.
Mm.
So it really doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
And then I decided I'm gonna do that. I'll just do it for a year. Maybe I choose 4 different businesses, right?
Mm.
And you meet people, you gain some skills or whatever. So you can paint houses or you can whatever it is. But then the Mavic drone came out. It's like a drone. It was the first portable drone, really. And
that big white one, was it that one?
No, the small one. It's the gray one.
Okay.
Yeah, the first.
Okay.
And that kind of sparkled an idea. I was like, okay, I can now film for hotels, tours, agencies, resorts. Make corporate videos or for their website or whatever. So yeah, quit my job, bought a drone, learned how to use it. Yeah, went to Central America.
Nice.
We traveled through Central America about 3 years. Started in Guatemala, Belize, Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica. Basically went from resort to hotel to travel agency or showing my services, right? Yeah. I make a video for you. In the beginning, I didn't have a good camera. I only had my iPhone.
Sure.
But I had a gimbal, right? Nice. I knew how it works with lighting. I knew how it works with editing, having a drone. Nobody had drone shots at that time. So yeah, you were really popular. And I was just, from day one, you just go from place to place. And very important to ask for references, right? Because all these business owners, they know each other.
Yeah.
I was set. I was just, you know, filming, making a little bit of money, not a lot, but enough to keep traveling, surfing when I'm not working. So that was great and a really good time. For example, in Nicaragua, you were not allowed to have a drone. So all the drones are getting confiscated at the border, right? And I sneaked one in my surfboard bag. And yeah, I was the one with a drone. So got a lot of clients and spent quite a bit in Nicaragua.
Nice.
Then there were riots in Nicaragua at the time. I really had to leave the country.
Sure.
Everybody had to leave the country. And then I went to Costa Rica. And quite early in Costa Rica, all my gear got stolen.
Sure.
Yeah, all my cameras and lenses.
How did that happen?
Yeah, I was filming on the beach.
Sure.
Filming this girl walking in the water. There was no one on the whole beach.
Yeah.
So then we walked back to our towel and my bag is gone.
Yeah.
Probably somebody came through the woods, took it and then went back in the woods. Yeah, and it was a shock. Because it went really well, and I was like, oh, I can just do it all the way to Argentina, right? Why not? So then insurance didn't pay anything. I really had to come back to myself, and decided to go back to the Netherlands.
Yes.
Quite sad, but picked up this job in the Netherlands, working for this real estate company. And then I really knew I never want to work for a business or an employer. I was like, I'd rather work twice as hard for myself than work for making someone else's money. So blessing in disguise, I have to say. Some client contacted me who I still work for nowadays. And they organize workshop events all over the world. It's like a spiritual company. So they go to Machu Picchu, Stonehenge, Egypt. And I was filming for them like non-stop, really.
Were you traveling with them then?
The whole time. Well, they had like 6-7 events per year. So travel with them, go back to Amsterdam, travel with them. So that was good. And I still do that. So for them, they don't have a lot of events, but it's my main client. I don't have multiple clients, but this is very good. So yeah, that was great. And then COVID hit. Like everybody else is stuck, you know, in the world at home. No more events. Got a little bit into crypto, so on a really good time.
Nice.
So that was nice. Made plans to really go abroad again.
Nice.
And then Bali came out of the out of the thing. Yeah, loving it.
Yeah. How long are you gonna stay in Bali?
How I always do it is I just look ahead 1 year, right?
So not too far ahead.
Yeah, and if I still like it, do another year. It's not too long, but also not too short term. You can, you know, set yourself up. There's no reason to do anything else. I do a lot of video editing at the moment, so people send me footage. I edit it for them, send it back. I just do mainly big accounts or big commercials or for government or, you know, jobs that pay a lot, not for influencers or small things. It's kind of not my style as well. Maybe I'm too old for that. But, but yeah, that's what I do. And on the side, a little crypto. I wouldn't say trading, but keeping an eye on it. And,
Nice. So let's say, for example, you were in a office now and you saw yourself in Bali and you wanted to be the person that you are now in Bali. What would the office Oscar do to get there?
You mean like advice or?
Yes, for like, for example, if someone is in the office wanting to get out and like the path that you took and they feel inspired and want to do something similar.
Like I said, I did a lot of Googling research and there's just so much information nowadays online. So first I would just, you know, dive in and then you'll find nowadays there's just so many platforms of where you can show your skills. People are everywhere all over the world looking for freelancers, looking for skilled personnel, right? It's all projects. I would say know what you're good at. Make profiles at like a Fiverr or Upwork or freelancer.com or whatever. Make sure you're really high in the ranking. You do a lot of small jobs, right? And then eventually you'll be able to sustain yourself. So it is nowadays not hard to work abroad. I hear sometimes people say, but I don't have any skills.
Yeah.
Could be, that that could be, but you can learn how to have
exactly
a certain
skill. You, you bought a drone and you didn't know how to fly it, but then you taught yourself how to fly the drone and then you started to advertise.
And the good thing is now with YouTube, for example, everything is online.
Yeah.
So you want to be a photographer? I'd say spend the next 6 months, every day, 3-4 hours, learn how to be a photographer. In 6 months, you're a photographer.
Yeah.
You want to learn, you want to have good money, become a coder, you know? Mm. It's not hard to do, maybe I'm simplifying it, but you know, everything's online. It's free, you know?
Yeah.
So it is just a matter of discipline, dedication, and keep going in it, and the tools are there. Like I said, you know, the Upwork is there. Look how, look what kind of profile people have. Copy it a little bit, you know, fake it till you make it a little bit, and start with these small jobs. And all these platforms, they work the same, you know. You start with small jobs, and eventually, people notice it. They're gonna give you bigger jobs, and then you only need, in my case, you only need 2 or 3 good clients and they become recurring clients, you know, they will keep sending you jobs. Just how I always do it, I just over deliver always. I always work very hard, and if you provide quality, they will ask you back. And that's not just with my industry, that's with everything. It's not hard nowadays, I'd say.
So in the spectrum of like video editing, photography, and all of those things, when the viewer or listener wants to dial in on one specific thing, for example, if, whether it's just video editing or whether it's just photography or like content creation for like a hotel or whatever, which small niche within that would you suggest is the best option to like try and dial in on? Which will give them the biggest return on their like time investment.
In my industry, you mean?
Yeah, because it sounds like there's like a lot of different things that you do personally, but obviously for them to learn all the skills that you have to be able to do a wide variety, it's going to take them a lot longer. So what if they maybe try and like specialize in one specific one?
Right. Filmmaking, it looks easy and everybody can do it nowadays, but to do it really well, it's a different skill, you know? So you need to know about camera, you need to know about light, you need to know about composition, you need to know, there's a lot of things involved, right?
Yeah.
It looks easy, everybody grabs their iPhone and shoots a reel and it's fine. You need to sort of know a little bit, what's your passion also a little bit, what do you like, you know? Follow a little bit what resonates with you. I always loved documentaries.
Yeah.
So I started off with a lot of documentaries, editing them. There's not a lot of money in that at that time for me, so I switched into corporate videos.
Okay.
And their corporate videos is just everywhere nowadays.
Yeah.
Is it on Instagram or is it on the website or is it for television? What I can suggest is learn how to shoot interviews. like you do, you know, with your nice lighting and your composition and know-how sound, know-how to edit well, color correction. These are all skills you need to have. Mm. And then go in and, you know, sometimes you think of something and then you want to go that direction.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you pivot and you tweak. So you don't need to invent the wheel right away. You just need to start and then be consistent enough. And you'll find your niche.
Mm.
You find your niche. Maybe it's music videos, you know, could be that. It's awesome.
That's a good answer.
But for me, 16 by 9, already this format already. I get the creeps already a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
I do it sometimes. And there's a lot of people who can do it a lot better than me. So it's not my skill. My skill is just good storyline. Sometimes I get 40 hours of footage, you know, with 2 hours of interview.
Mm.
And I can really dial it down. What's important? What does the client need, you know? And then follow his advice briefing really well.
Mm.
And then make sure you have really good visuals. Everything is well shot, you know? Everything is in focus, you know? And over-deliver.
Let's say you were to step out of your business. I'm assuming then, like, you are obviously a key factor in your business, right? So there's not really, the business won't be able to continue if you step out.
No, so I'm a one-man one-man show, one-man band. Sometimes I hire people who do like After Effects really well. I can do the basics, but I've got a lot of contacts who do really well graphics or animations, or and they're very easy to find nowadays.
Yeah.
But that really elevates my work as well, you know. So I always leave a little bit of budget in that, let somebody else do it.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to do it. I tried to learn it when I started. Number one, I wasn't very good at it. And number one, two, you're really spending the whole time behind the computer. And that was a little bit too much.
Mm.
What I like about my job is 50% I go out and film, and the other 50% I'm at home, you know, cup of tea, nice editing. I really like that balance.
Okay.
I couldn't be always behind the computer. It would drive me mad.
Would you, if it's possible for you to choose only being outside and not having to go inside, would you?
No.
So you
I
want it.
Okay. Yeah, I like also to just lock yourself, because I really like to see the end result, right?
Okay.
And I like to be in control of what the end result will look like. Yeah, I love what I do.
Mm.
And even if it's not a super interesting video, like a government, you know, tutorial or whatever, I still am anxious of, okay, how can we make it as good as possible? Because I can put it on my website. It gives me new opportunities or clients or whatever. In the end, it's all giving me money to be able to live here. Right?
Yeah. Have you ever seen like some confidential government videos that you had to edit, or not really?
So definitely confidential stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. With new products all these things, but
no spy things.
No. Other things too, but for another video maybe. But, I had a girl asking me for her OnlyFans to shoot her feet or whatever. Like, okay, no, that's not my forte.
You're not in that direction.
But there's so many directions nowadays. In that term, I'm really lucky. I choose this subject because it just exploded, right, with videos.
And I guess there's not a lot of people that actually do that, because I feel a lot of people might rather want to do like the touristy, popular things you see on Instagram and YouTube.
Travel video.
Guess the market is a lot more difficult to get into it on that side, where compared to you, you're taking on a much broader market that's not as populated with creators or editors.
I mean, I just go for the money, really, to be honest, because if you go for the YouTube and the travel vlog, it's a long game, right?
Yeah.
And like you say, there's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
And I just want to get paid for my hours.
Mm.
I've already seen so much of the world with this job.
Mm.
When I'm not working, I want to be able to enjoy the places where I'm in as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you do vlogging, it's just, you always have your camera ready. You're filming everything.
Yeah.
It looks nice and beautiful and people do it really well. But I know how tiring it is also.
And I think people have any idea how much effort goes into, like, especially that short form, like a 7-second video. It's like hours and hours of work from recording to scripting, depending on how complex it is. But there's a lot of work in the back end.
All this gear you need to carry and all this, you got your GoPros and thing, you know, you need to edit it. And I mean, look at this Lost LeBlanc, right? He's really good at it and I highly respect him. But I don't have the energy for it anymore. I remember I was in El Salvador and working for this tour agency. And they said, Oscar, you need to film all the volcanoes that we have in the next 2 months or so.
Yes,
and there were like 8 or 9 volcanoes carrying all the equipment up. And
stock footage.
And then you go up and then you go to base camp after 8 hours walking. And then you have this last little stretch, right? And then it's too cloudy or something. So everything for nothing. Okay, you can go in 2 days again. Oh my God. Went again. And then we couldn't even go to base camp because you couldn't even see your hand.
Yes.
So yeah, these things happen.
Mm.
But all good memories.
Yeah.
Yeah, all good memories.
That's something that I've learned in business as well. In the beginning, when I was younger, I'm still young, but younger, like I always wanted to start like cool businesses, like things that I found like, wow, that's cool. I want to have a business like that. So I tried like sportswear. I tried like things that I also liked. But then after a few attempts, I realized like it's all those things that I like, everyone else likes as well. So they've all started the same thing and they have just like flooded the market with those kind of things with only 1% of them actually succeeding. So I realized it's better to have to start a business that's maybe not so cool, but bringing in the cash, as you said, over a business that's cool, but it's not bringing in the cash.
So
there's that bit of balance.
I agree.
Now it's software and it's, okay, I guess.
It's not cool, man.
holiday rental is, it's okay. It's not, I wouldn't say it's cool, but it's nice because whenever I go there, there's accommodation for me, myself as well, if I need it. But software, as you said, it's not something to be like, I'm so cool, I have a software company. It's just software. But at the end of the day, it's so much more lucrative. It's just a way better option to go for.
It's the means to an end also.
Yeah.
And I started so many businesses also. During my work at the multinational, I started a beach volleyball camp company. So we organized beach volleyball camps, mainly in Portugal, but also all over Europe. I did that for a couple of years. I started a website, Surf Educators, you know, with tutorials about surfing. Mm. Me and my best friend, we developed this product. It's like a gift package where you open, there comes out all this confetti and music and with a little gift inside. Recently I started an Etsy shop, and but this is typical what you mentioned, like everybody's having an Etsy shop now, and
it's not a good platform.
It's huge,
it's a good platform.
But it's so hard to get into the you know, AI came up and I was like, oh, there's so much possibilities with AI. I'll just make AI pictures or posters or whatever, and then you know, we'll put a nice frame on it, and we'll sell them on Etsy. But yeah, not the only one who's doing it.
That's
and yeah, it's really long haul. So
yeah.
I was like, okay, this is a little bit too long for me.
I always say that whenever we see, and I see this all the time, like videos, especially on YouTube, but also on places like TikTok. But there's always these videos, as you just said, now selling on Etsy, and there's packaging it up as if it's so amazing.
Yeah.
But it's so flooded. I feel like the moment when it gets onto a platform like YouTube, it's too late to do it because then too many people has done it already.
Yeah.
And then this video is just making even more people do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So then it just gets more difficult. So whenever I see something's happening on YouTube, I know I shouldn't do that because it's too flooded.
Yeah.
So that's a difficult thing with that. So people should, if they want to start something completely new, they should try and find something that's not on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because like way back, I also went into everything that you've seen on YouTube, like Amazon FTA or FBA, I don't even know. I've tried that, dropshipping.
Same.
All the popular things that's on.
Yeah.
And obviously none of them really ended up into anything other than just a waste of my time.
Really frustrating. Mm. Really frustrating. But I picked up from every little business something that I took to the next business. Yeah. So I don't see it as waste of time.
Definitely.
Of course, at the time, you know, you get a little bit frustrated, but I know how to make a website now, or I know how a little bit of the marketing or TikTok works, or, you know, so you're getting better and better.
And eventually
you'll find, you'll find the hit, but
And then you have all the skills that you've learned from all of that. Definitely.
Yeah. But research. Do good research, look what's out there, look at all these platforms. That's, I think, the best advice I can give people, you know. Mm. It's same like a dating profile, right? you really have to show your portfolio really well. What you can also do, if you don't have skills at the moment, there's also a lot of possibilities in becoming a sort of agency and connecting people who have skills to people or who are looking for personal work. So if there's all this Upwork. If there is find a job on Upwork, go find on Fiverr people who can do it. You know, tell them, okay, you need to do that, send it to them. So you're becoming a little bit middleman.
Yeah.
Wouldn't pay a lot in the beginning, but eventually if you have a big network, you'll get a lot more higher paid jobs.
Yeah.
And you just need to be lucky one time with a big job, big project, and then the platform recognize that, okay, this guy is probably good. We're gonna give him more, more traffic. Yeah.
I think a lot of it comes down to the SEO. I know SEO is more like search engine for, like, for example, Google. But as you said, now it's also algorithm. I would say because if this platform notices, like, hey, this guy is doing good, he's getting good reviews from the people using his service, they're coming back again to make use of his service again, then this platform, let's say it's Fiverr, they will promote him more, so he will instantly get more jobs. And it's like the top 20% gets 80% of the jobs. So that's
true. I did it as well on Upwork. I started there, just look what kind of profile others had. And then within half a year, I was top rated, and once you get top rated, you get invitations for work the whole time. Because in the beginning, I have to write my job application or whatever, but now they just come. Nice. And I got two really good clients from that, and they're still my clients.
Sure.
So I don't need to be on the platform anymore, really, honest. Yeah.
That's very good. I think it's a good place for people to get started.
Yeah.
To get their foot into the door, build some connections with clients that they without it couldn't have gotten.
Yeah.
And it also helps to for new companies to see your like reviews, the people that has worked with you, and it's like legit reviews, not like
that's right. Yeah.
Because anyone can fake a review and send a fake screenshot. Hey, this is what people say. But if it's a review on a platform like that, obviously that can't be faked.
There is a race to fake it. I mean, you can be my employer, but that will help you out in the beginning.
Mm.
You have to be careful for it. But for example, if you don't have reviews and it's all about reviews, you hire me for $50, I'll pay you back. But, you know, and then say, oh man, this Oscar really did a fantastic job. The platform recognizes it. And then little inside trick. But
I guess
it helps.
Yeah, I guess it shouldn't be too difficult to get an actual job and do a proper job, and then you also get a good review, especially if you tell the guy like, hey, I've just started out, your review honestly means the world to me, so please take 2 minutes to leave me a review. It will honestly make or break my career. So
Exactly.
I'm sure they also give you
it's
just as
really
good.
Really fun how it works.
Mm.
And that's not just with my industry, that's with a lot of different jobs. And then you can work from anywhere.
Mm.
Everything's online now. Move to a place where it's not really that expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, if I would live in Australia now or Costa Rica, for example, I need to work twice as hard as what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
But I choose to be here. I have a good life and pretty stress-free, I have to say, you know.
Yeah. I love the island vibe that you get from here. So everyone is so friendly. That's the main thing why I love Bali. Like, you can go out in the street and any stranger will smile at you. And it's not like in America or wherever, anywhere in the world, not just America, where there's, I guess you will get road rage here, but not nearly as bad as in other countries. Even South Africa, if a guy just feels like you've pissed him off, he will go around you the whole time. And it's just like everyone's hooting at everyone. So the road rage, is actually normal in a way, but it's friendly road rage. It's just like...
Yeah, it's banter.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I was in Netherlands a little bit, and then you see everybody's in a rat race, everybody's working very hard for their iPhone 15 and for their expensive house. And different story if you have like a family or, you know, kids or whatever. But life is so much nicer here, so much better. So I'll be sticking around.
Me too, I like it. Yeah. I came from the Caribbean, and there I paid like $40 for one plate of nachos.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Which country is that?
I think this was Saint Martin.
Saint Martin, that's expensive.
Yeah. Where I paid.
The French side or the Dutch side?
No, this was in Nassau, sorry. So this is Bahamas. So That was where I bought the nachos, but I was in both the French side and the Dutch side in St. Martin.
Yeah.
But they, compared to here, this morning for me and Revel, I got us each a breakfast, and that was 80,000 rupiah.
Yeah.
So that's, how much is that in dollars? $2?
No, $5 or $6
for two bacon and egg.
Yeah.
And croissant breakfast, so
that's right.
It's a big difference compared to nachos for $40.
Yeah.
The living here is definitely a lot.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree. You can get away so much cheaper for something I enjoy actually more than there. Like, there it was very like unsafe in certain areas. So the touristy sides, it looks really nice, and it's Instagrammable, but once you go off the touristy path, it's a bit crazy there.
Yeah, Central America, the same. Nicaragua, El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, maybe didn't feel so unsafe, but still, it's a big difference if you go out there at night than you go out here at night. Here you can just walk on the streets normally. And there, you really have to be careful.
Yeah. Me and two friends were out sitting at the bar, and a random guy just walked past and offered us gunshots.
Oh, yeah.
We still don't know what he meant with that, but he's just, gunshots? We're just like, no, thank you. But he's like offering it. I'm guessing, we still don't know, but yeah.
Maybe it was just some shots.
Maybe, you know? I have no idea, but it's a funny name. Then he should show a shot or something with the offer so that we understand. Yeah, some of the people there were nice. We still met some locals and they were very friendly. But I do understand there is that safety factor as well.
Yeah.
Something you mentioned earlier that I actually just briefly want to touch back on, because I have an idea that I've had in my head for a very long time but never have really executed. But I just want to share the idea if there's anyone watching that might benefit from it. You mentioned that there's also the option to sell somebody else's service. As you said, like, you can do something and then hire someone on Fiverr to actually do the job or whatever. And for I don't know how many years, I've always had the idea in my head that it's like, if you are very good at like for example SEO or making a good website, you can one sell websites for people, but you can also create a website, let's say for example photography, like we're advertising our photography platform on that website, and then whenever a client, if your SEO is good and your website gets ranked on Google or wherever, and people hire you, that it can easily then, let's say that for example the shoot is going to be in Cape Town, then this company can hire someone in Cape Town to go do the shoot, and they give them like 80 or 70% of exactly. the money, and now they get a client in Los Angeles, now they hire a photographer in Los Angeles, and this guy's just the middleman, as you said.
Yeah.
So if they're good at one task, it doesn't mean that they have to sell that one skill they have. They can use that one skill to create a whole different environment of an income for them as well.
Yeah, because you start to, when you're good at something, you start to recognize quality as well. So I can, there's a lot of video editors nowadays or cameramen. I go look on Fiverr, but I can pretty quickly see if the person is good quality or if he's not so. And then you can, yeah, you can ask them, do you want to join my network? This, of course, they would love any job, of course. And then make a website, make a platforms are pretty easy to make nowadays.
Last night I made one.
Yeah, you make a little platform.
Just
right?
Like one website, just a few clicks.
Yeah.
On Canva, it was so quick. I was surprised.
Yeah. The skill is, like you say, SEO, marketing, social media. That is just a very good skill to have. For instance, TikTok or Facebook advertising or Instagram. Know how it works. Know what works. Know a little bit about video editing, right? And then you can really sell anything. You can sell your platform. You can sell your own photography skills. You can make a meme coin, you know, you can sell meme coins. You can do anything, really. It's just one step to gain a little bit of knowledge in that. For example, there's a, I don't know the website anymore, but there's this platform, it's quite big, and that hires only Filipino workers. Filipino workers are very skilled. They have a high education. They speak very well English, and they're all on this Filipino platform, right? They all offer their services, and their services are usually lower than people on Fiverr or Upwork. Yeah, there's opportunity there, right? To connect those people, and it's a win-win for everyone, really. It's just a matter of, like I say, know people who are good, know, recognize if they're good workers, good quality, try them out, and yeah, go from there. But yeah, there's so many opportunities nowadays to make money.
Yeah, definitely. Like a month or so before I quit my job, a colleague actually told me, because we got on the topic of like finances and business, and she said, but there's no options to do anything. Everything is like taken, or there's nothing in this new world, there's nothing we can do. And I was like shocked. I'm like, it's actually the opposite.
Yeah.
But I think it's the whole mindset that people have. It's easier to accept or tell themselves there's nothing, because then they like have an excuse to do nothing.
Yeah.
While in the reality, if they actually stop themselves, give themselves a little tap on the hand, or even slap through the face, if it's me, then they will actually realize, like, think of the options that there is, and realize there's so much more than there has ever been before.
There was,
like, especially with internet that came out 10, 20 years ago, it's, and now AI, I believe, is going to be like the next .com bubble kind of thing, but the bubble hasn't started yet. I feel in 10 or 15 years, it's going to be so big, and then the whole, all the AI markets is going to like explode until it eventually pops.
But yeah, it's you just have to put in the work, you know, and probably your friend or your colleague is maybe a little bit insecure of his own skills.
Yeah.
So keep updating your skills. I have to do it as well. I have to keep watching tutorials, keep watching courses, software programs. They get more complicated. I need to be on top of everything.
And it changes all the time.
All the time. And I need to know what's cool and what are people working. I need to know, it's effect. I need to know that effect because client asking for that, right?
Mm.
So that's in my industry, but that goes for anyone.
Yeah.
If you're not doing anything, if you think you can just go around and just be yourself and not keep learning, you're gonna get left behind, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And and that's like I said, if you don't have any skills, 6 months is all it takes, I think. Every day, 4 or 5 hours, you can be anything you want. Maybe you're not the best, not like a doctor or anything, but you know, want to learn a language, want to be a coder, want to be a graphic designer, want to be a video editor, want a project manager. It's probably easier. You can up your skills, or you can develop new skills completely. Just look out Google, what's the highest paid job at the moment? You want to find coders, tech, all these things. Okay, let's follow, let's do some free courses on tech or whatever. And then you're set after 6 months. Yeah, you'll be astounded how much you can pay as a, you know, as a tech nerd, as an IT guy.
Yeah,
yeah, you're gonna live a really nice life. Mm.
Don't quote me on this, but I've heard of the story of the guy that it's like a professor or supposed to be a professor, and he, I'm not sure for how many years, but in one college he was giving this class for students for years and years and years, and he had no degree or nothing behind that, no studying, nothing. And when it came out, they asked him like, how was he able to like deliver the class and everyone like learning from him even though he knows nothing about it? And then he said all he had to do is he had to be one step ahead of the class. So the night before, he will just study the things that he needs to teach them for tomorrow. And then tomorrow he knows that and he teaches them that.
Yeah.
And that way he's literally just one step ahead of them, but he's still doing, performing the job. And I feel we can all implement that, not in the sense of being like hiding our abilities, but for example, let's say I want to, it's a crazy thing, let's say I want to do space travel. And I want to teach people how to do space travel. I can create, for example, a YouTube channel. I know nothing about space channel, but I can be open and honest about it and say like, hey, I don't know anything, but I'm going to learn it now and you can learn it with me. Like, we can do everything together. This is what I learned today. Here's this video. This is what I did. This is the outcome tomorrow. Here's what I did yesterday. Yeah. Here's this the day after. This is what I learned the day before. And that way you can still do the exact same thing that you would have done if you were an expert, but you can, like, you don't necessarily need to do, for example, you said 6 months. You can start from day one actually and start something. After 6 months, you already have a massive like support and channel behind yourself of people already following you.
Yeah.
So then you have the skills that you would have had after 6 months. But you also have this whole crowd that's already following you.
Yeah, so that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's just putting in the work. I like that idea, actually. Yeah. you'll probably look back after 6 months, that's a little, that was a little bit different, but yeah.
But that's a good point. You can, after 6 months, you can say, make another video. I lied to you guys in this video, and that's going to be good clickbait. Everyone's going to be, what did he lie about?
Yeah.
So then they jump on and then you come clean. When I made this video, I thought this was the way, but now 6 months later, I've learned I was wrong and I want to correct you guys on it. I want to correct myself on it. This is what I learned. This is the new way. I prefer this way over this way. Don't put your underwear on after your space shoot. Please put your underwear on before. I was wrong.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, no, I wouldn't say similar, but yeah, and during COVID, I really got into crypto. Yeah, obviously the returns are really great with crypto at the moment, but yeah, you can also make really big mistakes as well, right?
Yeah,
and definitely. People tend to be quite short-term, greedy, so you have to be really go careful and first learn about it, learn what everything is. I made every mistake there is with trading, so trading is really nothing for me, but
I've also tried it.
Yeah, but I made my own crypto bots, I follow bots, I did launch pads, I did IDOs, I didn't do NFTs, but I did spot trading. Basically, I just learned everything there was about crypto, and I kind of now know what it is, right? What's Bitcoin, what's Ethereum, and then you have all these altcoins, and then it's a little bit on the side for me. But yeah, knowledge is money, you know, and that's the same with crypto. I just watch a lot of YouTube, I follow a lot of YouTubers, and some are better than others, but yeah, you pick out the best ones. Yeah, you get your timing right. So don't buy on the top. Buy in the bear market,
part,
right?
Most people fail there.
Yeah, especially now with the meme coins and it's very tempting to put all your money on a dog with head, but yeah, you need to be smart about it. And if you know what it is, if you know, also know your limitations, I think it's very, very good. And then yeah, there's a lot of money to be made. Friend, he's a trader, he makes money trading, he makes, I don't know, $150 a day here in Bali, perfect, you don't need more. Yeah, hopefully I make a little bit more, and then my goal is to maybe to buy some real estate or maybe make my life a little bit more permanent somewhere, maybe in Bali, maybe in somewhere else, but I think it's crypto, this is just really big opportunity now. There's so much money in that space. Wall Street is behind it. There's so much money coming into it. But still, yeah, you need to be careful what you're doing. But if you give yourself the time to learn it, maybe not this bull run, you'll reap the rewards, but the next bull run in a couple of years, yeah, it could be life changing for you.
So if there's any viewers that want to like make use of your services, what kind of services can you help them with, and where can they find you for that?
So I've got a website, it's called thelastvideo.com, where I put all my work. There you can see all my work, my photography, my videography. If you need any help with video editing, it doesn't really matter what kind, like I said, I do mainly corporate videos, so bigger clients or commercials. But if people need help with gear, equipment, or scripts, I think nowadays, you know, AI is taking over everywhere, and that's also for my business sometimes. But I feel like really custom videos with a script, that would never go away, because AI cannot think that, right? So I help people with that. How can we make the biggest return on our video? Yeah, I'm there. I can consult businesses or whoever wants it. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Thank you. Cheers. Anything else you want to say to the viewers? Maybe some encouragement or motivation for them to take the leap of faith, escape the rat race.
Oh, I escaped the rat race. I think we mentioned it already. Just start and you don't need to invent the whole wheel. Everything's out there and just go for it. And it's okay to pivot. It's okay to find something, and you find out, I don't really like to be a programmer, but I know now how something else, and then you change it. You'll find something if you keep working on it. And another thing is, I would say nothing is permanent, right? Yeah. Try it out for a year, try it out for half a year, quit your job, go for it, dedicate yourself. Go live in Bali. If you don't like it after a year, usually you can go back to your old job or a similar job in your same environment, and then at least you did it, at least you went for it. It's always good for the mind to be open-minded, to see new experiences.
A quote on that, and this is a very good quote, I believe. It's going to be stuck in my head for years and years, and I hope it's going to be stuck in everyone's head now. But I've heard a person say, and this person also like escaped the rat race and they are in the process of like trying to build something. So they haven't gotten there yet, but they're in the process of doing it. And they said that their worst case scenario is to go back to the job that they were at. And their worst case scenario is other people's normal life. So that's like a, should be an eye opening. Like a lot of people's normal life is this person's worst case scenario.
Yeah.
So that should hopefully inspire everyone to jump out.
And in the end, I think working for a business or employer, you're making someone else rich or making someone else money, right? Okay, you get a salary, you get your constant and your security, but it is so rewarding to be able to make your own money, to be able to have a bit of freedom when you want to work. Yeah, and looking back and say, I did it, and you can be proud of that, you know, because for people listening, I'd say just go for it, dedicate yourself, and see you in Bali, man. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening and tuning in, watching wherever you are. We appreciate it. And thank you for staying until the end as well. It's very important. Thank you for your time, Oscar. I appreciate you coming through.
That was fun.
And having the discussion with me, sharing your story with all of us and all the tips and tricks.
Hope it helped.
I believe it did. Thank you.
Cool. Cheers. Cheers, man.